In New York for WNYC, I'm Amy Eddings. This Sunday is the five-year anniversary of Lehman Brothers filing for the largest bankruptcy in American history. The ensuing financial crisis eventually led to a $700 billion government bailout and plunged the country into the worst recession since the Great Depression. Joining me is Allison Fitzgerald with the Center for Public Integrity. She and a group of reporters have spent the past several months investigating what happened to the men and women, the bankers, the regulators, and the CEOs at the center of the financial storm. Welcome to WNYC, Allison.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
You looked at what happened to five former CEOs of Wall Street firms that got into the most financial trouble. Tell me what you found.
Well, yeah, we looked at Richard Fuld and four other CEOs. I had the Bear Stearns, the Bank of America, and some others. And what we really found was a bunch of men who were still living lives of immense luxury. They largely are not working because they're not necessarily sort of welcome in the business world the way they once were, but they are all living quite well. They're very rich and are a few trying to get back into the business, but mostly living lives of leisure.
If they're living well and still millionaires, is there any incentive for future CEOs not to take big risks, especially if there's no financial consequence?
I think the issue here is that there is very little in terms of financial consequence. Now, obviously, I'm sure Richard Fuld or Jimmy Kane, the head of Bear Stearns, wish they weren't known for having driven their companies into the ground. But they have not had to pay, as far as I could find in talking to their attorneys, any actual money out of their own pockets for civil liability. They're not facing any criminal liability. Most of the lawsuits and settlements get covered by insurance. So there's not a huge amount of personal risk to taking huge amounts of risk with their clients' money, which is what happened at these companies.
It wasn't just these banking CEOs at the center of the financial crisis you tracked. You also looked at former regulators like Chris Cox, who led the Securities and Exchange Commission in 2008. Where is he now?
Now, Chris Cox is in California, he was a congressman from California before he became the head of the SEC. He is working for a private law firm / consulting firm. He's the head of Bingham Consulting, and they actually advise companies, including financial firms, but other companies as well, on how to navigate the new regulations created by Dodd-Frank in the wake of the financial crisis. So, his job is essentially to help people get around what happened while he was at the helm of the SEC.
What's happened in general to watchdogs?
Yeah, they've generally done quite well. I mean, we looked at, again, five or six, including Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, Timothy Geithner. Largely, they're out of government on the lecture circuit. There's a report that Geithner has made as much as $200,000 per speech. They've written books. There's a lot of books and memoirs about the crisis. Most of them have come out with, a lot. Their images burnished to some degree and much more well-known than they would have been otherwise if they had just been regulators in Washington. And therefore, in some degree, they are making out pretty well from this situation.
You found many executives who led the firms that made the kind of mortgage loans that failed most often, those pesky subprime loans.
Mm-hmm.
They are back in business doing the same kind of work.
They are. And that, I think, is what, of all the things we looked at, is sort of the thing that surprised me the most. The people, and we found top executives, many of whom were CEOs or founders of the biggest subprime lenders from before the crisis, which was a list of companies that had been identified by the Center for Public Integrity before through government data. And to a person, somebody from each of these companies, and many of them multiple people, have gone back into the industry after a small, short hiatus and either started their own firm, gone to another firm. These are all non-bank lenders, which are the kind of lenders that make loans to people who don't qualify for prime loans. They don't like to call them subprime anymore. They call them non-prime, or they have other names for them. But it's remarkable that all of them have been able to get back into the same business again.
And how is that business doing? Is it starting to grow and achieve the same sort of level of prominence that it did right before 2008?
I wouldn't raise the alarms too loudly on that one, in that it's still, at this point, very small and much more conservative than we would have seen in 2006, 2007. But it's certainly growing exponentially. It was tiny, tiny. It was pretty much gone. And then it was tiny, and now I would say it's small. But it is growing quickly. And, you know, what we've seen through history and definitely over the last, 20 years is every time there are new restrictions on money, money finds a way around it. And so we're already starting to see hints at efforts to loosen mortgage standards again in order to increase the amount of money that goes to lending.
Allison Fitzgerald is the project manager for finance with the Center for Public Integrity. She and a group of reporters have investigated what happened to the bankers, regulators, and CEOs at the center of the financial storm in 2008. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy.
This is WNYC.